towards the end of the discussion last night, I mentioned that there was no word meditation in the Pali text as such, and you said you'd think about that. Have you thought about it?
I haven't read a lot on suttas, so especially I can read sutta in Pali, so maybe I have many misunderstand. Simply I think that many picture who the Buddha and Buddhist, the meditation sittings.
Yes.
And I consider whether the meditation sitting is no useful anymore, no useful at all.
Useful. And what about standing? No useful at all.
Understanding.
Standing. Is sitting is useful. So what about standing? Is it not useful?
Yeah.
Every posture, you mean? We shouldn't lie down too long, sit too long, stand too long.
And I think we have to keep in mind the difference between the statues of the Buddha in sitting position and talk in the suttas about people were sitting when they're listening to the Buddha and so forth, and what the Buddha said about the development of understanding. So did he say, to develop understanding, you should sit? Or did he just talk about the development of understanding in any posture, at any time? That's the question, really. Not what did people in those days do, or is sitting useful? What did he say about it?
Yes, of course, we cannot deny the role of understanding. Understanding always be the first one to develop for the bhavana. But I just think about the meditations.
And we come back to this question, what do you mean, what is meant by meditation? Can you give us a definition?
As I said, sometimes that according to me, meditation is the moment of understanding, moment of...
So you're saying you can't... You're saying you can't deny the role of understanding in developing understanding?
Yes.
That doesn't make sense, does it? Because you say you can't deny the role of meditation in developing understanding, but meditation is understanding, so...
No, I don't say that I can deny the role of meditation. I just try to understand why in history or in picture on in many sutta that I read, the Buddha and the teachers say also they mention about the meditation. So what does
This is the question. What did the Buddha say about meditation?
So now I want to listen.
He didn't use the word meditation, as far as I know. People use meditation assuming that everyone knows what it means. But if we think about it, what does it mean? If we say meditation just means a moment of understanding, then of course the Buddha talked about development of understanding. But we don't have to then give that another name, like meditation or something. We can just talk about development of understanding. So your question is, why do so many people talk about meditation if the Buddha didn't himself use the word meditation?
I have read that the Buddha had meditation sitting for 49 days before he enlightened. So, what does it mean?
In the sutta, it describes the stages leading up to the Buddha attaining enlightenment, right? And for the Buddha, that included attainment of jhana, because all Buddhas attain enlightenment with jhana as basis, because that is the highest attainment of enlightenment. And for people who lived a homeless life and have very high developed understanding of samatha and jhana, of course, when they have done their daily round of alms round and having their meal, and then the rest of the day, what do? They don't have any work to go to. They either have to sit or walk, because that is the lifestyle to which they have become habituated. But again, we come back to the question of what did the Buddha say to his listeners about the development of understanding? Did he tell them to sit?
The word understanding is very, what, interesting or appealing or what? Understanding. What does it mean? To know the true nature of what we would like to understand, right? So, understands what? So that we would like to develop it, to understand that object which understands. So, what is the object of understanding? What does understanding understand? Or now, do we know that we don't understand what, that we better develop the understanding of that? So, what does the understanding understand?
The true nature of reality.
Of?
Yes. Of realities.
Seeing?
Yes.
Hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Because there is seeing, and there's no understanding of seeing. That's why we need the teachings of Buddha Buddha to help us to have more and more understanding, like Buddha understood seeing as not self, as not anything, only a reality which arises to see. If seeing does not arise, nothing like now can appear to through the idol at all. So now there is a reality which is seen right now, and there is no understanding of that reality at all if we do not read or listen to the teachings of the Buddha. For example, we live for quite a long time, but no understanding of that which is seen at any time. So what is it, reality, that which is seen? Didn't Buddha teach us about this? Because he enlightened all kinds of realities. So this is included in his teachings too, because it's so real and it's now appearing. So what is the true nature of that which is seen? Is it real? So what is the nature of that which is seen? It is seen now. This is the not understanding and the understanding. They are different. So when there's no understanding, it's a reality. It's ignorance. It cannot understand. Ignorance is a reality which it cannot understand the nature of anything which is real. So now at this moment of seeing and visible object is now appearing. No understanding about seeing, no understanding about that which is seen. This is why one listens to the teachings to develop one's understanding until there can be the moment of enlightenment or comprehends the reality which appears as it is. Is it this what you are going to know more, listen more, thinking about it more, until there can be the gradual understanding of seeing? Because no one can understand seeing and that which is seen just in a very short time. But it can be object of understanding. So before talking about how to develop right understanding, what is the object of understanding? Like seeing when there's no understanding. But when there is understanding, it understands seeing. Visible object now, ignorance cannot understand it. But when understanding arises, it can understand that which is seen as it is. I think that when the Pali term used the word bhavana, it means developing understanding, or understanding develops from time to time to be able to understand thoroughly that which appears now. And this is bhavana in Pali. Some might say that it means meditation or contemplation or anything. But I think that anything that means the understanding of that which appears, not that which does not appear. For example, if you think of understanding Nibbana, Nibbana does not appear. Impossible. So instead of thinking to understand that which does not appear, one should know that that which is now appearing, thus there is understanding of it right now. If not, should it be object of understanding? Should there be understanding of it, seeing right now, visible object right now? And if not, how can it develop? That's why from listening to the teachings, one begins to understand what is that which appear and what is that which sees. So what is that which appears? To seeing. See, otherwise what does it mean about meditation or contemplation or understanding? No use at all. But when we know the objective of doing something, one knows that this is the thing that can be done. Listening, studying, understanding, developing the understanding of whatever appears. So many things appears in a day, but no understanding of them at all. But when there is listening to the teachings, all the teachings is about what is real in a day, what happens in a day, is there in a day. There is thinking in a day, there is seeing, there is smelling, tasting, touching in a day. Shouldn't it be known? Or when there is right understanding, it understands all these things, not other thing else at all. So if there is no understanding of that which is seen now, how can right understanding develop? It has to develop from the very beginning. Do you see someone or many people, many things now? This is a question. And what do you see?
Of course, now I just see Ajahn, everybody here.
And what did Buddha say about that which is seen?
Yes. If I answer, I just repeat the Buddha saying, or Ajahn saying, that the visible object which is...
And what is meant by visible object?
Non-self. just visible object which can be seen by seeing consciousness and through the eye sense.
Can you describe the characteristic of that which is seen?
No, for me now,
because we use the word visible object, right? Visible object is our reality that can be seen. But at this moment of seeing, can you please tell the sign or the marks of that which appears at the moment of seeing right now, or none at all? It's not just black, only black. It's not just white, only white. But now there are many colors and many marks and signs appearing. So, what is really seen?
I can't imagine.
No matter what color, no matter the mark or the sign, there must be seeing, otherwise there's no mark, no sign, no color, right? But when one says that visible object is seen, it means that only a reality which can be seen. But at moment of seeing, usually there is the sign and mark of different objects, right? And without the arising and falling away of that which is seen so very rapidly, can there be any mark and sign? Because visible object, no matter it's what color, is seen without or with mark and sign, depending on the rapidity of the arising and falling away in succession of reality which is seen. So when that reality which can be seen arises and falls away many, 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 many times, uncountable, what appears is the sign and mark of such and such visible object. So when we see this, we see like a shape and size, and this also shape and size of visible object. Because the visible object is there here. And what is there? The Mahabhuta Rupa, four primary Rupa, hardness, softness, or heat and cold, all these four. Whenever it arises, it conditioned the other kind of reality to arise with it. So visible object is there with the Mahabhuta Rupa. That's why we see different size of Mahabhuta Rupa, but Mahabhuta Rupa cannot be seen. Only our reality which is there, whenever it arises, there must be that reality which can impinge on the eye base. And it's time for one karma. We don't know from when, eons and eons ago, or last life, or this life, we have no idea. We cannot understand. But without that, seeing cannot arise, because it's the result of that which has been done to condition the eye base to be conditioned for seeing to arise, to see that which can impinge on it only. So among all the 18 types of tattu, this is one, because it cannot be other thing else at all. So thinking about the moment when seeing arises, now there is no seeing at all, because at that moment nothing appears. But when that particular one reality which can impinge on the ibis impinges on the ibis, then the karma or the deed that has been done, one karma only, we don't know, condition the moment of citta to see that object only one moment, see? So this is what Buddha told us about reality so that it can be conditioned for seeing realities as not self, all the teachings will bring more and more about the understanding of no self in anything which appears, like no self, no one, nothing in that which is seen, no self, no one at all at moment of hearing, no self, no one at all at moment of touching. But since realities arise and fall away so very rapidly, and what is left is only different sign of different thing which is experienced, like sound, many, many different sound, so it can be remembered as the meaning of this sound, the meaning of that sound, like fire in English is Phai in Thai, see? But the person who doesn't study or know about this meaning, different language, no idea about Phai at all. But the Phai cannot be changed. Like any reality which arises, it has its own nature to be such that no one can change its characteristic. So we live with many people and many things all the time without understanding that what is seen is only that which can impinge on the eyeballs only. So learning to understand the truth of what Buddha taught must be all about what appears now arising and falling away from birth to death. But no idea whether it's citta or jetasika or rupa until we learn about what Buddha taught. So we know that there's no self at all. Little by little, and this is only intellectual understanding, but right understanding can develop so that it can directly experience reality right now, as we have learned, exactly the same, each word. Like all realities are Dhamma, or they use the word Dhamma in their language, but for us, whatever is real, whatever has its own particular characteristic, never change at all. Like seeing, no matter in what language, or we don't have to say anything, whenever it arises, it sees. That's all. That's all. So how many seeing in one's life, even right now. And this is the development of right understanding in Pali, Bhavana. No matter one thing, Bhavana is this or Bhavana is that, but the development of right understanding must be now. Understanding whatever appears from hearing, whether it's true or not. You don't have to believe, no one forced anyone to believe at all. But by hearing, one can see that, is this right? Can it be discerned? Can it be understood, comprehended, or directly experienced the arising and falling away of it? If not, Buddha didn't teach at all. So what he taught is all about whatever appears that can be understood. And that is Bhavana from the very beginning, listening, understanding, and Panya develops by direct experiencing until it can penetrate the nature of reality right now as Buddha taught. And it's meant by Bhavana, no matter in what position. No matter in what life. No matter where.
Yesterday, when you were talking in the room, you were mentioning something along the lines that you think that when the meditation teachers ask the students...
Excuse me, yeah. Am I meditation center? Meditation teacher? Am I? Good mind, am I?
According
yes or no?
To my identified of meditations, you also the meditation
not,
teacher.
I'm not, right? Because I do not tell anyone to meditate, but to understand. And right understanding develops after hearing and considering. So I'm not a meditation teacher. So you are talking about the meditation teachers, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So she said that when the meditation teachers, they ask the students to be aware of walking, of going back and forth and touching and etc. Even though they are not realities, they're still concept, but she thinks that it can lead to awareness to arise. Right? It was what you were meaning?
That's why you better know that I'm not meditation center. So what I talk about is not like the meditation teachers, right? Cannot be the same.
Maybe your identity of the meditation was is quite different from mine. So maybe we have some not the same idea about the meditations. So compared to the Tom's comments about the awareness, yes, I saw that in meditations, some meditation center, the teacher asked the yogi.
And who's the yogi?
Many questions.
I just want to understand any word, one word at a time, because I just don't like to think by myself. Can be wrong. So what is yogi? Yogi?
Yeah. Sorry, I think I used the student is better.
Different words can lead to different understandings, right?
Yeah.
That's why we should understand the meaning of the word.
Yes. When the teacher asked the student to aware what's happening,
yes, please,
now.
May I interrupt? And does the student understand what awareness is?
It depends on each
Okay,
yeah.
Be aware. You understand that?
Before Ajahn teachings, I have the other understanding of the aware.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that what's happening now is aware. Example, I'm sitting here or I'm touching the chair.
Is that the teachings of the Buddha? Very simple.
Yes, of course. Let me explain on and on. I know that what I have think that it is aware is not right. It's not enough.
No understanding.
Yes, no understanding. But what I have discussed with them yesterday, that also at that time when the teacher asked the student aware what happening at the present moment, maybe it's not the right explanation about the...
Is there any explanation about awareness before be aware?
Some teacher, they have...
Some, why not all?
Because I didn't meet many teachers.
But all your teachers do not teach anything about awareness, or do they?
Sorry, I just met only three teachers.
Only three?
Ajahn is one of my teachers.
Me?
Yes.
No, I'm not meditation teacher at all.
Teacher who teach my...
No.
Teach me about Dhamma.
No, I didn't teach you to sit or be aware, but to understand what awareness is.
Yes.
The best thing in one's life for those who believe in the Buddha's virtues is that he could help the others to have one's own understanding until that person can penetrate the true nature of reality by themselves.
Yes.
Buddha didn't say, be aware. Because who knows what awareness is just by saying, be aware. No one can be aware at all by hearing just be aware. There must be understanding what is meant by being aware. And the teacher, that's the meaning of the teacher. If the teacher cannot help the student to understand anything, that teacher is not a teacher at all. And this is the difference. So I'm not a meditation teacher because I didn't tell anyone to sit or to be aware, but to understand even right now what is seen and what is that which is seen. Is there anyone in that which is seen? Or it's in only the idea of that which appear as different marks and signs, as something. So you have only two meditations and a teacher.
I think maybe it's difficult for me to express who is the teacher for me.
The person who helped you to have the understanding.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. And sometimes it may not be clear why Ajahn speaks in such detail and for so long about the characteristic of visible object, and you may not understand why this is answering the question about meditation. And the reason is that if we understand that visible object, just that which is seen now, is just a reality, just a dharma, not self, and no one can make visible object arise, no one can make visible object fall away, no one can stop having visible object. So understanding more that this is just the reality which appears now, and the seeing which we talked about a lot yesterday is just that reality which arises by its own conditions and sees visible object, is a way to understand that actually all conditioned dharmas are just like this. These are just examples that are appearing now as we speak. But whether we're talking about seeing or visible object or hearing or sound or feeling or attachment or any other reality, it's just a dharma that arises by conditions, falls away instantly, no self at all. So when there's an idea of how someone can be aware, it's not understanding any reality, because it means that even though we hear about five khandhas, we hear about rupas such as visible object, we hear about different vedana, we hear about sanya, about mental factors, about consciousness, still there is the idea that in addition there is someone who can do something. But actually there really are only conditioned realities like seeing and that which appears now, visible object, no one who can do anything at all. And even awareness is just another dharma, just like visible object, just a reality which arises by its conditions, experiences its object because it's a nama, and falls away instantly. So no one can make awareness arise, just like no one can make seeing arise now. If there are conditions, it arises. If there are not conditions, it doesn't arise. And when it does arise, it's aware of its object. So when we're talking about understanding realities, it's aware of a reality. So if we say in the beginning, oh, how about awareness while lifting the pen or while walking slowly, it's not understanding anything about what awareness is or what awareness can be aware of. Instead, there is a self, an idea of self that can somehow slow down realities to make it easier for awareness to be aware. But this is not only not helpful, it's the wrong understanding, it's leading in the wrong track, because instead of leading more towards an understanding of dharmas now as anatta, it's leading in the other direction towards an idea that a self can somehow make awareness arise and select what awareness can be aware of and have some idea of a situation like sitting or lifting the pen as an object, thinking that will make it easier to be aware of realities, but it's the opposite. So this is why it's important to clarify all these terms: what is yogi, what is awareness, what is the object of awareness, can anyone make awareness arise. So this is the reason that Ajahn talks a lot about visible object, just to begin to understand how each reality is anatta at this moment.
And we've talked a lot about kusala and agusala, which I think you have a good understanding of. And kusala is sometimes classified as dana, sila, bhavana. Bhavana being samatha or vipassana, which includes satipatthana. Or sometimes there's the 10 kusala gamapatta, etc. Now, when a meditation teacher tells the student to just start by being aware of something, whether it's sitting or thinking or whatever, and the student follows the practice given by the teacher, can that be kusala?
I must have to answer that it depends on each understanding.
Depends each on the understanding of the student.
Yes.
So, for example, how could it be kusala? If a student goes along to a meditation teacher says you start by just being aware of whatever, how could that be kusala?
If they have understandings Sarah has explanation.
Right.
At the time they
if they had that understanding, why would they go to a meditation teacher to follow some instruction? Because the understanding that Sarah just explained was about not choosing or thinking you can make it happen, but just about the conditioned nature of things. So if a person had that understanding, they wouldn't have the need to go to a meditation teacher, would they?
Thus, we attached to the strictly story about the meditation center, that we think that where meditation center is where only have the instructions or the rule or the method, technique method, whereas they only that. I don't think so. There's quite many explanations of the Buddha sayings.
So it's the explanation that is important, not the instruction.
Yes, of course.
Yes. So what does the instruction add to the explanation?
Sometimes that the other teacher, the answer explanation, they also explained about the realities, about the anatta, and about the conditions.
So this is what is helpful to hear.
Yes,
the explanation.
Yes.
So if it's explanation about conditioned nature of realities, that is what is going to benefit the listener.
Yes, right.
So, is it like you're saying you hear about conditioned nature of realities and then you practice that?
No.
Because if realities are conditioned and we understand about conditioned nature.
You know, nobody can practice just right. Only understanding.
Right.
Do its self functions.
Right.
Yes.
So, I'll let Ajahn take over, but then you're saying meditation without practice.
I think the main problem here is the difference identified of meditation and practice between me and you.
When the teacher or the meditation teacher say, be aware, can he know whether that person is aware or not?
Like sometimes a chance say that what is seen now, just a reminder.
So the answer is?
And every teacher...
When the teacher say what is seen and what is the answer or the student's answer?
That it depends on...
Okay, what would you say?
Yes, I have answered that. I just seen Achan.
And what did he say?
And Achan explained...
No, not me, your meditation teacher. Because I asked when the meditation meditation teacher say to the student, be aware, can the teacher know whether the student is aware or not?
I think just a reminder, not a required or just...
So, what do you do when you go to meditation center? No one tell you to do anything or someone remind you to do or what?
I just went to a meditation center one time and I haven't been asked to do any rule or to do
you
any...
You mean that since you do not understand reality, you go to the meditation center just to understand, right? And is there any explanation or time like discussion to make you know, to condition the understanding?
The different understanding level.
Okay, suppose this is the meditation center. You came. And what happened?
Teach me what is the difference between the thinking, the story, and the present moment. Of course, he...
So, excuse me, what is the thinking?
Thinking, as my understanding or...
Because he told, teacher? He helped you to understand thinking, right?
Yeah.
So what is thinking that...
Yes, it is very, it's quite a simple explanation that...
What did he explain?
I don't remember well. He tried to distinguish between the seeing, the hearing, the voice, and what you are thinking.
But you know before that, the seeing is not thinking, right? Everyone knows. So, what more do you know?
Yes, but it helped me to come back to my mind.
Even now, everyone knows that seeing is not thinking, hearing is not seeing. So, what do you get more from the words of the meditation meditation teacher?
If there's no any reminder...
What did he say?
Yeah?
That what did he say about seeing, thinking? Because everyone knows that thinking is not seeing. So what else did he talk about, seeing and thinking.
Yes, of course, his explanation is not detailed and precise as Achan.
So how can there be the understanding about that if it's not the right words about it?
Yes, but just I say that it bring the other level of the understanding.
What level? Because everyone knows seeing is not hearing, not thinking. That is a level, which is not the understanding of anything at all.
But for me, the first time when I heard that seeing is not thinking, for me it's very important.
You know, before he said, I thought.
I have never of the seeing in the thinking before I have heard.
Can you ask Jap whether she knows that seeing is not thinking? Jap does not go to meditation center, so ask her whether she knows. Close your eyes, there is seeing. There is no seeing. Open your eyes, there's seeing. Everyone knows.
Different.
She knows before she go to meditation center.
She was just intimidated and she was afraid that her answer would be wrong.
It's not a matter of wanting it to be right or wrong, but your own understanding.
You already asked her before.
She knows when there is someone asked her.
Yes, yes, yes.
Exactly like me and mine.
But it does mean that when she...
Yeah, let's bring the whole family.
The thing here is no one can help other to understand. It's only the reminder, the question, who puts them to the condition to understand the situation. So, for example, no one asked Mai before that seeing and thinking is different or not. So she never know about that. And now we ask Jeff, and she think about that and she understands. So the problem here is only the reminder is important.
If she doesn't know, she cannot answer at all. But she knows that seeing is not thinking.
Yeah.
So when she is asked, she can say that it's not the same.
That is the difference between a child and a computer. The computer can have 100,000 words but cannot know the difference. But a child, when you pose the condition and put him in the situation, he knows.
What does a computer do?
Nothing.
I think that seeing cannot be thinking, cannot be hearing. Everyone knows.
Right,
so when one is asked, one can answer because one knows that they are different. So more than that when going to listen to the meditation teacher?
No, that is a mix of the words here. We can say that the teacher, that's the one who tell us something new to us that we don't know. And
so, what are they?
For example, we can say here, Achan is the Dharma teacher. He is the Dharma.
No, I'm only good friend.
Okay, yeah. Whatever the word. And the meditation teacher is explain. How to meditate. I mean, the meditate is not led to the understanding of the reality, but for example, they can put the student to a relaxed condition to be ready to hear about the teaching, to can understand, that's only like Achan put up in the condition.
So that is not according to the Buddha's teaching at all, because there must be Pariyatti, and then Patipatti, and then Pativeta, not Patti and then Pariyatti.
I think all of that is not out of Buddha teaching. It belongs to, it's part.
So listen.
It's not complete, but it's part of the teaching.
So listen to anyone who's not Buddha's word.
Buddha is not anyone. Buddha is everything. It's beautiful.
But he taught a lot.
Perhaps he taught a lot, but some was
not perhaps,
yeah.
Because now no self is the teachings of Buddha. Who can know that there is no one here at all? Only different thought, different elements, different realities.
Only understanding can understand that.
Who can understand that?
No one.
No one, except?
Except the teaching, the Buddha teaching. Mm-hmm. Not Siddhartha, vulnerable.
Not the other's teachings.
Yeah, no other.
So are we now listening to the Buddha's teaching or
yes.
The other's teaching?
Only what Buddha teaching that we should mm-hmm. hear.
So there must be listening first.
But before that, we should, how can I say, to hear, to understand, and to can have, consider the Buddha teaching correctly. Mm-hmm. We should have good health, in good condition, everything. So, like the Venerable Siddhartha, when he meet a patient, meet a person are hungry, give food first, and then give the teaching after. It is the same like a meditation center. They put the people in right condition, good condition before teaching. Like an ajahn, put us in the right condition before giving the advice, the reminder. I think it's the same. No conflict at all.
So, what do you think about meditation center?
Have any thinking. I think it's it can be suitable for someone. It's not suitable for someone. I never been
what
in a meditation center, but I don't follow. It could have for someone, but I don't have chance to go there, so okay. No.
Anyone who teaches the teaching which is not according to the Buddha's teaching, which one you prefer?
Sorry, can you repeat?
The teacher who does not teach according to the Buddha's teaching and the teachings of Buddha, what do you prefer?
Yeah, the straight way is the quickest way, so... So I prefer the... but it depends also because someone when you cannot understand the direct way, so cannot be preferred or not. It's only when you understand and so then you can understand. You cannot, I cannot choose a chan or zone who is telling better because it depends on the condition.
Not us, but Buddha. Do you have Buddha as refuge? What do you mean by that?
I mean that I... like the Buddha for me is the truth, the reality. So it's the only source that we can believe in, we can base in to...
Is that Buddha your refuge? Just that?
Yeah.
Just... thinking that he's the enlightened one?
Yeah.
Only that?
Yeah.
So, Buddha is my refuge to think that he's the Buddha. That's all?
Yes.
Not necessary for what he taught for 45 years at all?
More than 45 years, I think. Siddhartha lived and taught for 45 years, but Buddha teaching still live until 2,500 years up to now.
He taught for how many years?
I don't know, but it was said that he lived for 2,500 years up to now, and the teachings was there since his head.
What's he still now?
The teaching.
The Buddha himself, where is he now?
The teaching is here.
The Buddha.
The Buddha is understanding the teaching. No one. The Venerable Siddhartha died already, like me and you, someday. But
for how long? For how long has he died?
I don't know exactly.
How long ago?
2,500 years already, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter.
As long as
what?
There is the teachings.
Yes,
of
there is teaching until today. And only the teaching that I take a refuge. Yeah.
So how can you have Buddha as your refuge?
Hearing and considering and understanding that teaching.
Hearing the Buddha's teaching, not the other's teaching.
Yeah.
And what did Buddha teach about right now?
For me, the Buddha teaches everything useful in life, including reality. Including, is that mean Buddha teaching is much larger than reality.
Did he teach about seeing?
Yes.
That.
Yes,
what did he teach about
belong
seeing?
Belongs to no one. Is
so it's not you who sees now. How can you know that thing now is not you?
By the teaching of
yes.
Buddha that I hear from you.
Not meditation, not from meditation teacher?
Because my accumulation don't let me to meditation center and meet with other teacher. I don't know. So, you are the first one I hear about that. So.
Can I be your good friend?
Okay, thank you. Yes, of course.
Telling the truth.
So is there any role for practice, like people do at a meditation center?
I don't have any idea on that.
Right.
Understanding, and let's live with understanding.
So what about someone tell you, be aware? What do you think?
I don't have any idea of that. Be aware.
No understanding of what awareness is, right?
What awareness here is something like a concept that could lead to, like John yesterday said, asked me to focus on something. It's something like this, pay attention to, and it means already it is a lot of reality on that word already.
Can we ask Jeff again about be aware, or can you aware, or are you aware of this or that?
Yeah, I ask her every day to aware, to focus on when eating, on doing something, but difficult.
What about telling her, be aware?
Yeah.
See, and does she know what does it mean?
That means
be
to
careful,
focus on something.
Be aware.
Yeah.
See, that is not enough. No understanding.
But in the level of chap, I think that ask this is a reminder that pay attention to the things that should do at the times. It's only a reminder only. But I cannot, I understand that I cannot put him to pay attention to his reminder only.
The point, Sun, is that we talk about taking refuge in the Buddha. You said you take refuge in the Buddha, and in order to really take refuge in the Buddha and his teachings, we have to consider very carefully what those teachings are. And if we just go somewhere and we're just told to be aware of putting your things away or how you move or this or that, actually it's not any understanding of the realities taught by the Buddha. So whatever is said is not actually taking refuge in the Buddha or the teachings, because nothing is actually understood about those teachings. So if we're really interested to understand about the teachings, we have to be a lot more precise, and there has to be the beginning of understanding of realities as not self. So if it's just an instruction to be aware of going here or going there, we could go anywhere. We don't need to mention the Buddha's name at all, because it's nothing to do with the Buddha's teachings or taking refuge in the Buddha. So if someone would like to go to a health resort or a meditation center, it's fine, but no need to call it the Buddha's teachings or taking refuge in the Buddha.
Yes, that's right.
Just you coming back to my reflection, and I think that I can understand a little bit her thinking. Maybe I'm wrong, but because I think back before I started to practice meditation, I read many things about life, about the way of our functioning, and I got some understanding. It was not really the Buddha's teaching in details like this. But then I thought, oh, this is just intellectual understanding. So I thought that I would need to do something to have direct understanding of it. So that's how I started to do meditation. Of course, now I understand that it was not the right way. So I think that when my listen to the Ajahn's explanation, which is the Buddha's explanation about realities, like now what is appearing is just visible object, she can agree with it intellectually, but because she feels that it still seems to be just like repeating someone's words and not actual understanding, so that you can have the idea that when the people are trained to pay attention to realities, then it would lead to more direct understanding instead of just repeating the same words again and again. Is that kind of ideas?
Not exactly like so. I just consider about, I think that there may be some useful when some people, they go to the meditation center. I just think so. Because some of my friends, they have never listened to Ajahn explanations. But I think they really have get some progress on their mind after they join several meditation courses. I just think that there's some useful, but I totally agree that if we take the Buddha as a refuge, we must to have listened and consider and learn very carefully his teaching. And I deeply thanks Ajahn for what Ajahn have gave to me. I just want to say that, and for the meditations, I think it depends on each identified of the meditation, so we have some conflict or some confused.
Mm-hmm. you mentioned that you thought that perhaps some of your friends who had been to a meditation center had, there was some sort of change in their mind or development or some positive step. And I think you have to, because I've been that route, and I think you need to look at what that might be. It could be, I found that following instruction at a meditation center and, you know, trying to, quote, be aware of who knows what, and following that kind of instruction, it can lead, there's a lot of lopa involved, and there can be a lot of pleasant feeling. And I think that, maybe you think they're happier. But I think, so calmer.
More relaxed.
More relaxed. But is that cannot be equated with the understanding of realities that arise now. So I'd warn against what you see in your friends as being some sort of proof or verification that is a good thing to do, because I don't think it serves the purpose at all of understanding realities, the realities that arise, you know, presently arising realities. And that mistake, that mistaken belief is quite common. That more calmness or relaxation or generally feeling happier or whatever does not necessarily involve more understanding, the development of understanding.
Some people think they have insight also.
Yes, they think they have insight into their mental states. But if you ask them about understanding of dhammas, I wonder what their answer would be. Do they have a better understanding of seeing invisible object? We can't know, of course, but I suspect they wouldn't even consider that to be part of the aim of the meditation program. They would think more in terms of more kusala, less akusala, mental states, karma, during not as disturbed by outside influences and that sort of thing. Don't react so much. Maintain more evenness during the day, etc., etc. And all these things are common results of following some kind of practice like that. But two things. One, it doesn't last. I mean, everyone goes through a stage and they seem to have that and so on and so forth. But you find it doesn't continue for long, because one's natural tendencies will always reassert themselves. And secondly, it's nothing to do with understanding dhammas at all, because the understanding of dhammas is something that doesn't have a visible result to be seen by another person. So when Ajahn talks all the time about understanding dhammas and people think it's just theory, they miss the point completely, because it's the theory that needs to be heard. Only the theory can be conveyed by speech. Understanding cannot be transmitted from one person to another. And I think in a meditation course, people have the idea that there are other forces at play that come into effect and that help everyone to reach a certain stage or state. But it's nothing to do with understanding of dhammas, like seeing invisible object.
I think people who do a meditation practice of some sort, it becomes a crutch. Do you understand what I mean by crutch? It becomes something to lean on. They need it. Without it, they feel they don't do well. It's like Nina's walking stick. They always have to lean on it, you know? They can't. Nina can walk without her stick, but it helps her balance. But people feel that it they have to have it without it. And that's not a refuge. That's a crutch.
And can you be aware, even right now, even there's no one to remind you? Yes, can it be? Even now, not at the meditation center, can there be awareness right now?
Yeah, it can.
Even no one remind you?
Yes.
So what's the difference between going there to be reminded of being aware?
Or by conditions.
Yes. So there can be awareness now, even you are not reminded at all, right? And when someone say, like the meditation teacher say, be aware, can there be awareness right then?
By condition.
By conditions again. So the meditation center is not the condition for awareness. It depends on understanding.
Often find people who've done meditation before hearing the true Dhamma and recognizing that.
No.
Not everyone.
Very fortunate.
I went straight to her.
You're very fortunate.
I was very fortunate because I felt no need to, and I went straight to her at the Padma Hatat where she was.
That these things happen, and
I came to her house, and she talked about Nama Opa, and she asked me whether I found it interesting, and I said yes.
Yes, but then that Nina had to go through all the Catholic teachings and the Catholic conversions,
right.
Just as bad,
yeah.
And stay in Catholic monasteries, so it's no one escapes without wrong. You and wrong practice.
That's right, yeah.
The other day, in one of the breaks, I was talking with Ajahn and Alberto about ayuhana and karma and patisandhicitta. Ajahn was talking about all the karma that is accumulated to condition patisandhicitta, and only this one is referred to as ayuhana, other kind of karma that brings result, even though it's accumulated, is not ayuhana. Would you say a little more about ayuhana?
Ayuhana.
Ayuhana is the which condition rebirth consciousness. And at that moment, it's not just only one karma. It's the one karma which produced the rebirth consciousness, but it also have the other karmas accumulated, ready for that life to be able to produce result. We don't know how much kusala a dog has accumulated, has done in the past, but the rebirth consciousness of a dog must be akusala vipaka, the result of akusala karma. But what about the rest which have done is in that chitta? They are all in the each moment of chitta, right? But only those which can produce result in dog's life can be the accumulated karma which can produce result in the dog's life.
So
a dog cannot go to school because of the accumulation, the karma which has been done doesn't have such condition to produce what happened in one's life, in dog's life.
So we're talking about the all the karmas that have been accumulated to mm-hmm. produce the, in this case, unhappy rebirth consciousness, but also the other supporting and other karmas that will bring results during life, of that particular mm-hmm. life. And so we're talking about all those particular accumulated karmas that will bring results during, such as the rebirth and results during life. All of those are ayuhana, or
the
just
karma,
the one that brings
the patisanti karma collects all the karma which can produce results during that,
that
life. Yeah.
It collects,
and that is ayuhana.
Just there's also many many karma, but it's still there. But patisanti citta is the karma with other karma as supporting karma to be able to produce whatever happened in that during that life.
But that's the result of only one karma, the patisanticitta.
Patisanticitta is
the
result of a karma, only one karma,
with
other supporting,
karma,
which can produce result in during that life.
It's accumulated in the citta. That's why it's possible.
So when we talk about ayuhana, we talk about the karma which produce the rebirth consciousness, and also the supporting karmas which can produce itself during that life too.
It can produce result as any vipaka, even seeing and hearing?
Seeing is vipaka. Dog sees, but it depends on what can be seen for a dog.
And that's ayuhana?
The karma, the supporting karma.
The seeing and...
The citta, which condition patisanti citta, is the result of one karma with other supporting karma, which can produce result in that, during that life.
As seeing and hearing?
Why not? Seeing. Who can know seeing right now is a result of what karma in what life? Eons ago. Okay, there are so many, many lives, so many, many karmas, and the patisanti citta with that particular supporting karma, which can produce result during that life, is ayuhana. It doesn't mean that it's not karma, but what is meant is ayuhana, which is the patisanti citta and the supporting karma, which can produce result during that life. We don't talk about the other karmas which do not have condition. Yeah.
When you say it's the patisandhi and the other supporting karmas, you mean the patisandhi as a result of that karma and the other supporting karmas that will bring results?
Different karmas.
Patisandhi, yes.
Different karmas. But what is there in that moment of patisanti, which is the result of one karma, but it brings along other karmas too.
Right. So all the other supporting karmas accumulated in that citta, even though it's patisanti result.
And
citta.
There are more than just the ayuhana karma. The others are, but not ayuhana karma.
Okay.
And that those, you said there are more than only ayuhana karma, but all other karmas are also accumulated, and
right.
When it is time, they can also produce many different results.
In other life?
Or in that same life? During
that same life is ayuhana.
Or in the same is only ayuhana.
The karma which produced the patisanti with
supporting
karma, which can produce
only
himself.
Only in that one life. I see.
That is the meaning of ayuhana.
And in other next life, following lives...
Ayuhana again, we don't know.
Yes. But you said there are other karmas and they are waiting for...
It's not lost.
No.
It's still there.
Yes.
Every karma is there in a moment of
citta. It's all accumulated,
Like, for example, some good deeds now performed... karma now, which will bring results, but maybe if next life is rebirth as a dog, not possible for that karma to bring any results in that lifetime, like just no conditions, so then it's not ayuhana during that lifetime, but it can bring results at a later time in another lifetime, then it's ayuhana during that lifetime. So not all deeds now can bring results in that lifetime.
So we just don't talk about the other supporting, because only saying just the ayuhana means that
already
it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can know our patisanticitta and the ayuhana, the supporting karma too.
Mm-hmm.
It can be either kusala or akusala. The king can fall, can have different disease, yeah, ayuhana karma.
Very specific meaning.
Mm-hmm. To know that it's not just one karma which produced vipaka in that life, ayuhana.
During our break, I talked with Jonathan about seeing shape and form, but I found that a difficult subject. You pointed here just this morning, and I thought it was only thinking. We can't see that, but it is a difficult subject for me.
About
visible object.
Yes.
No, see, ignorance is there. An attachment covers up the truth of reality, which is only visible object.
You pointed here, and I thought, that's not seeing.
Not seeing.
Shape and form.
Not
thinking.
There must be seeing as well.
Yeah,
not
what?
Only seeing.
Okay. I was wondering.
But people might doubt, where is visible object?
Where is it, yeah.
But now we know that wherever there is the Mahabhuta Rupa, there must be that which can be seen, smelled, tasted, and jivitindriya. Then it's the kamma produced Rupa.
What about the chemical which allows like invisible effect?
We talk about moment of seeing only. Only that which sees.
But, so there are many moments of seeing, of course, arising and falling away, and we cannot trace that at all. But all these many moments are marked by sanya, and that's why I see the shape of this one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
The four Mahaputra Rupas cannot be seen at all.
No.
So what is instead with it? Another Rupa.
Go back to the invisible chemical.
Invisible ink?
Ink, yeah.
Invisible ink?
Yes.
You call that chemical?
Well,
when it's seen. It's just that which can be seen.
But it's not seen.
That which can be seen, only that which can be seen.
Because we know that visible object is one of the eight indivisible rupas. So when you talk about that
about
invisible
what? That
ink,
is what?
Ink, it must be rupa also.
Where is the ink?
You can, I don't know, maybe by tasting or by touching, maybe you can.
Where is it?
It?
You can look at it?
No.
Yes, you can get it, the visible object of that you call ink.
What does she call it? Invisible ink.
It's
okay.
Right?
Invisible ink.
Where is the ink? You look around, you find it, you get it. But what is seen is that which can be seen. No idea about it, whether it's ink or not. Even you as someone, a child, to look for ink, if that child doesn't know anything about ink, even that child sees ink, it doesn't know that it's ink. So what is seen is that which can be seen.
For example, if it's written on the paper, you only see the paper, so that...
You take it the paper. You take it as ink and paper, but actually that which is seen, no idea about that. Because usually you take that as ink or paper, you don't understand it as not paper and ink, it's that which can be seen. Right? That's why there should be the development of understanding that non-self of everything which appears. Otherwise, it's something all the time. By memory, by sanya. Why just ink?
Yeah. Well, if you put a drop of water on this cloth, it would disappear. Is it any different?
And why just ink and a drop of water? Anything which is seen without any idea yet.
Just because of the word invisible.
What is invisible?
Can't see it.
Pardon?
Cannot be seen.
Yes, but what is
invisible? Invisible ink?
What is invisible?
Not visible object.
Right.
Hearing is invisible. Sound is invisible. Mm-hmm.
Microphone,
please. See, there is always the doubt about reality.
Yes.
Because one is not used to understanding it as a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From birth to death, we have the idea of people and things each day, each time. At moment of seeing is something there, but actually reality is reality. Visible object cannot be anything else. And without the four primary rupas, there can never be that which can be seen. What about taste?
It arises with...
That's it, see? Exactly the same, like taste, smell. So visible object is there.
Another example, banknotes often have a security thing in them, so you put it under infrared light and it's visible, but otherwise not visible.
Different conditions.
Different conditions, yeah. But we can't say that the visible object is changing at all. Yeah.
Dark room and then turning on the light.
I think because of our ignorance and wrong view, there's still a tendency, even when we're discussing visible object, to think in terms of objects and not just that which appears to seeing consciousness at the moment. So like we try to deconstruct the object and think of how it was first experienced and blah, 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 but I don't think any of that is really relevant because the test of visible object is what appears to the eyes, seeing consciousness right now, which doesn't appear when there's no seeing consciousness.
Be aware. of visible object. Without understanding, it's impossible.
Like you pointed out, the background also, what we call background, not just one thing, but the whole thing is appearing through eye sense. In many moments, but we in thought, we put them together.
Yes. But even to talk about background and visible objects is already thinking about
and dissecting it.
Be aware. not me.
You used to say long time ago. You used to remind me sometimes.
To whom? To whom? See, not to anyone who do not understand. Like, awareness and the object of awareness.
When we were talking about situations or what to do or what is good to do, you would remind me, just be aware, just be aware. Yeah.
And you would say yes.
Yeah, I would say yes.
And who knows where the awareness arises at?
No, we cannot force it. It's only a reminder that when there is satipatthana, then sati will know the right thing to do or what to do when you doubt.
Or sometimes I would say, are you forgetting? Are you? Forget what?
Forget what? A reality?
Yes.
Of course. I had a conversation with Sarah about what you said yesterday about the cittas of other people. We never know whether they're kusala or akusala, which is really true and a good reminder. But in the sutta it says, when someone has a bad point, like a bad sila, pay attention to the good points he has. He may have dana or be interested in the understanding development, which is also true.
But not the exact moment of a single kusala or a kusala.
No, never. We can never know. That's true.
And so I think that is in the context of the monk who is overcome with dosa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's about, it's not about just understanding the present reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the dosa can be a threat to the monk's status as a monk.
Yes.
So then he's encouraged with kusala to think in a certain
way. In a positive way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in that example, Ajahn, that Nina just gave, because even if he's encouraged to think in a positive way about the positive qualities, as you said, no one can know one moment, so it's just like generally reflecting on someone's good deeds or something like that, but obviously you would say with understanding. But I think Nina's point is that she also likes to, okay, of course she doesn't know the individual moments, and she's not saying, like when she's praising Jonathan's paramis, she's not saying every moment is kusala, but just she likes to point out that in general the good qualities, like in the sutta.
So that sutta reminds Kunina to understand her own citta, not Kun Jonathan's citta.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, it all comes back to one's own citta at the time. That's really what it is, whether it's...
So what is there at the time? What is there at the moment of not minding Kun Jonathan's citta, but your own citta? So what is there after
the
minding?
The present reality.
Citta
nupassana, satipatthana.
If there is not yet the understanding of citta as it is, can it be citta nupassana, satipatthana? We call it or name it, like we understanding it.
Just a dhamma. as you always say, just a Dhamma, conditioned.
It has to be a very precise understanding which can understand moment of being aware of citta,
of course,
or
yeah.
Vedana, mm-hmm. or Dhamma. See, yeah, they are all Nama Dhamma.
Yeah. You can't help this.
Ayuhana, because it's Ayuhana.
So in that sense, when you're saying it's Ayuhana, you're talking about Ayuhana in terms of results then, or...
The karma with the supporting the other karma, so it...
But this is the result of the...
I talk about Ayuhana, which condition hearing unexpectedly.
Okay.
That...
Yeah,
to understand Ayuhana. So nobody can tell which karma conditions such vipaka at all.
Like you said, the invisible hand you mentioned to me when I told you about my accident. So sudden, so sudden, you never know beforehand.
And for Kunmev, see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even that is Ayuhana. Any vipaka cannot be predicted. To indicate that life goes on by the karma, vipaka, and kilesa.
Yeah, there's three rounds.
Three rounds, yeah. Kilesa, kamma, vipaka, or vipaka, and then kilesa, and then kamma.
Yeah.
Hung is interested in, was interested in the discussion the other day about karma, conditioning, temperature, utu, and then conditioning the relics, and these examples. Yes. Anything else to discuss about it?
As my understand, that utu can condition from some trees and other rupa. And the first time I listened to Ajahn say that utu can condition Buddha relics, and it sounds interesting. And could you explain more about utu can?
It's not conditioned by karma. Okay. Or citta, or ahara. So what conditions that? Before is there the relic. We don't call it relic. Bones and blood and everything. It depends on which group of, which kalapa is conditioned by karma or citta, utu and ahara.
Yeah.
So very fine and arise together. Like you cannot pinpoint this unit, this tiny kalapa is conditioned by karma, and what which is together, close together, conditioned by citta or ahara or utu.
So the body after death is conditioned by
utu.
But as I understood by utu which was produced by karma before.
So we can tell this is Buddhas or Sariputtas or Moggallanas.
Because different karma that has produced utu to produce more utu and condition those rupas. Same as the example of the celestial homes we were talking about. So it's the karma which is conditioning utu, which conditions those abodes in the deva realms.
So you just said that it's utu produced by karma before, so it's no more no other utu, right? Just utu, which is conditioned by karma before.
We're talking about, for example, the rupas of the corpse, those rupas, like the tooth of the corpse, the rupas that make out what we call the tooth, they're conditioned by utu, but that utu has been conditioned by karma before. Karma has produced utu, which has produced more utu, which has produced what those rupas.
So when that utu has no more condition to arise, then the course is decomposed. And
that's right. And in the case of the relics, the utu is still producing more utu, and that's why there's still those rupas. Anything else you'd like to add on the subject, Paina?
Just that the utu is new at each moment also.
Yeah.
It's not the same utu.
No, it's still rising.
Nothing survives. It falls away, and it is only the condition for the next round of rupa or kalapa to arise. And I think it started with your statement, Sarah, that it was that the jivit indriya was only produced by the kama. And it gives the impression that kama only produces jivit indriya, but after the first kalapa, which is a dekad, which has the pasada rupa and the jivit indriya, the following ones, as Ajahn reminded us, then is an octad, so it no longer has those pasada rupas with it, or the jivit indriya is only the aktan, the basic inseparables. But they're still called produced by kama because they trace the root back to kama.
Right.
But it's the first kama-produced kalapa which has the pasada rupa and the jivit indriya with it.
Right.
After that, there's no more.
The other day we were talking about, just to backtrack a little bit, we were saying that in any group of rupas, there are always a group of eight indivisible rupas arising together. The four primary rupas of Tejo, Apo, Patavi, Vayo, and then the four dependent rupas that always arise with them, colour, smell, taste, and nutriment. So there's always an octad, a group of eight rupas that arise in every kalapa. And then we were saying that if it's the group of rupas of the body, such as eye sense, in addition to the eight, must also have jivitindriya rupa, life faculty rupa, and the eye sense. So if it's an eye sense kalapa, it must have those 10 rupas. And we were saying that if it's a group of rupas conditioned by karma, so must always have, in addition to the 8 rupas, must also always have jivitindriya as well. So these are the kamaja rupas. But actually, there are secondary groups of rupas, as Paina reminded me, that are actually conditioned indirectly by karma but don't have jivitindriya, such as these examples we're talking about, because like in the case of the corpse, there's no more life faculty, no more jivitindriya rupa, and the rupas are conditioned by temperature, but actually that temperature, that utu, was conditioned by karma. And in the case of the relics, the temperature is still continuing. So even though the Buddha died 2,500 years ago, the temperature indirectly conditioned by karma from long, long ago is still arising and falling away and conditioning those rupas of the relics.
Is our understanding? We think it's some magician that the Buddha relics can become bigger and bigger. And they think that any super power or extraordinary power to make it But actually, it's just only water.
When one appreciates, it's still just different
rupas arising and falling away that are conditioned in different ways, and actually there is some explanation. And still, otherwise some people think, oh, still the Buddha is living or something, or there's some essence there. And
And can one say the reason those
relics are still there is because of the strength of the original karma to condition that temperature, which keeps on producing the relics?
Because we don't know how many kalapas there from the very beginning.
Sorry, which explains
the one? We don't know how many kalapas which produce utu.
So the karma which produced utu can be the karma also committed or performed in that very lifetime?
Any karma.
Any karma.
Because karma produced the 8 inseparable rupa, and one of that is utu. So that utu produced other kalapa. That's why only 3 kalapas at the moment of birth consciousness, but the combination of the 8 and the Mahabuddha rupa, which are conditioned by karma, are different. That's why we have different size, different color, complexion, eyes, and so forth.
So in addition to the ayuhana, the karma that are supporting and to bear the result in this life, there are also the vipaka of certain karmas.
Ayuhana is karma which will produce vipaka.
Yes, but there must be also karma committed in this life which can...
We don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But in the case,
because each karma is accumulated.
Yes. But
no
in the
selection.
Case of the Buddha or Arahat, many of them have relics. So can that the karma, the karma, or some jhana attainers also, like they have created new karma, so there must be some effect of that also to the fact that after that, there are utu which can produce
different Mahabuddha rupas.
Just going back to the subject of visible object and seeing, and I'm just wondering if it would be helpful to talk, about hearing and sound also, because similar considerations apply. What is heard by the ear consciousness, hearing consciousness, of course, is not the word or the meaning, which is object of thinking, which is the result of thinking, or which is thought about, but just the audible object.
Just now.
Just now, right now, yeah.
Yeah.
And when in conventional terms we are looking at someone who's speaking, then there's experiencing, of course, through both sense doors, but not at the same moment.
Not at the same time.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That panya is not developed, it seems, at the same time, not separated. Yeah.
You mentioned how difficult it is to understand the experiencing a visible object through eye door. I'm just wondering whether hearing of experiencing sound through ear door is as difficult to appreciate.
It's hard to tell, but it seems that through ear door we don't care. We care less And so I draw maybe more attachment, or we care more to look at the different things. And so either we let it go, or, but that's a lot of ignorance too. Do you have anything to add, Ajahn, about seeing and hearing?
Only when there will be precise understanding of visible object as no one at all, by then it becomes clearer and clearer to see that there is no self.
And the same through the ears and the other senses.
Yeah. Nimitta, all nimittas.
Yeah.
We live in the nimitta world.
That's the dream world, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we are writing the story.
What is it?
We are writing our life story as we go along.
Once upon a time.
We are creating or writing our life story.
Painting, yeah.
Or painting.
Yeah.
For example, pick up the book. See, you have wrote about everything in your life.
Yes.
From moment to moment. How many people... If it's not our life, and we read a book, so many people in that book, so many incidents, it comes from thinking of the writer only.
It got from seeing the
Cinderella.
It comes from.
Was there Cinderella?
Cinderella.
What's that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Cinderella. You know. You know Cinderella.
I know Cinderella.
Where is she?
In the dream.
Without the writer, can there be such a story of Cinderella?
No. No. Mm-hmm. See? Not at all.
So all the events or happenings
of our life
from the writer.
From the writer. So
the thinker.
The thinker. It's only thinking. I write.
Exactly the same as now. There is someone here and there with such and such story. Kunmeh just came back from hospital. It's one page or one sentence.
Oh, yeah. It's again about once upon a time then.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just some moments ago, you mentioned about the world of nimitta, but it's only in later stages that we realize that it's nimitta, right?
Without understanding, who knows that this now is dream world, a world of nimitta. We think it's so real.
Even with the first vipassana jnana, they still not realize as nimitta, or only in later stages, right?
Always nimitta of a reality. Of sound, of hardness, not just one smallest or tiniest unit of one kalapa. Many kalapas are there as nimitta. That's why one can understand what doesn't have nimitta. So what doesn't have nimitta?
Nibbana. Yeah.
But that which arises and falls away in split seconds. What is left is nimitta.
They live different
For example, nimitta of seeing. And if there is the idea of seeing, not the understanding of that which experiences.
You mean only one at a time? When there is nimitta of what is seeing, there is not at the same time nimitta of the seeing. Is that what?
There must be seeing.
There must be seeing.
Otherwise there is no nimitta of seeing.
Yeah.
Even it is object of awareness, so we can see that how many moments which is not aware of.
Yes, heedless.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking world.
Sitting world. Because when it's right, our reality, we can dig it up from questioning until it's there. For example, what sits, see? If you don't ask or think about it, no understanding about reality at that moment. So, sitting is not seeing, one knows. Sitting is not hearing. But what sits? Is this sitting or standing?
Standing.
Standing? Can it sit? That is lying down. Not get up. Standing, see? It's only thinking about nimitta. And there's the idea of my body, the whole body, conditioned the idea of it's in that posture, but actually it cannot appear at all because it's not real. What is reality is not sitting.
Story about accumulations. Through the night, Al and I were walking through the passageway in the hospital, and we came, there was lots of notice boards, and as we came to this notice board, we both looked at something on the notice board. Al noticed the flowers, I noticed not the flowers at all, I noticed the picture of the mother nursing the baby. It was like we both went, oh look, and pointed at the two different things. Mm. And I said to her, well, there we go, example of accumulations.
An example of aramana patipataka manasikara. So this is life, what happened in one's life, and Buddha just thought about reality in one's life, any life, any time. Which we do not know, even while there is sitting right now, what sits, until it is told by the enlightened one. Is sitting now kaya vinyati?
When he starts turning the dials, it's kaya vinyati.
And what about sitting straight?
No kaya vinyati, just...
Yes.
Because it's his citta, so he knows, but we don't know.
We don't know. Different moments, moments of sitting up and moments of not thinking about it.
This is the way to learn to understand realities. And it's there in the book, for sure.
I was saying in the break that sometimes one may have some deeply held ideas, but it can be hard to express them, and sometimes it may be a bit of a language problem, but sometimes one's just not used to formulating it, so one doesn't even really know what the idea one has at the back of one's mind is until one begins discussing. And that's why I said why you like to ask questions, because it's no good just telling someone. It has to be their own understanding. They have to understand what it is, the idea that they have, and consider for themselves. So we can't just tell someone how they should think or what is right. They have to really begin to, we have to all appreciate or learn for ourselves.
Otherwise, it's not discussion, and we will not get anything from it when it's not just discussion. If we just talk and talk and talk, how can we know what about the other's understanding and thinking?
And how can people find out about their deeply held ideas or beliefs?
To ask me, or I asked you?
Yesterday we also have a discussion in Vietnamese with them, and
she said that you are trying to protect what you not know clearly. It's exactly like Acha and Saran. Thanks, many thanks.
I think that the more we talk about anything, the more understanding of that would be. Like the teachings of the Buddha, the more we talk about, the more it keep on prosperous and spread.
And it's the same for all of us. We all have these deeply held wrong views and very, very deeply held ignorance. And so for everyone, there needs to be discussion and considering. And like Nina said, the point that was mentioned yesterday, never considered before. We think if we just point out someone's good qualities, that's good. But begin to consider, oh, one's citta, there may be lobha when one speaks like that. Or so it's the same for all of us. That's why we discuss and come together and help each other as good friends together. Begin to learn more about those ideas that are held.
Yes. And it's the same for physical object. We keep on asking, and we like to hear more and more, because it helps to hear more every time and to consider it more.
Can be simple understanding it as that which can be seen, that's all.
You say that's all, but for us it's difficult because of our deep
health. Because we are used to take someone or something out of visible object all the time, not begin to understanding it as just a reality, which it can be seen, that's all. Only that which can be seen, no one in it. But since we were not taught this way, many, many lives, so we take everything like we used to take. People and things is object of seeing. But actually that which can be seen is different from people and things, because no one there.
And I think
I would say there are Mahabhutarupa, see? Mahabhutarupa does not belong to anyone, and it's not self.
You say we take out something from the visible object.
Like now.
In what way?
Like now.
Yes.
Could Jonathan? Visible object. But you forget about visible object. You take that idea.
That idea.
As could Jonathan. Permanent.
Just call me Leo.
And I think we hear that it's a visible object, just that which appears, and seeing just the moment of experiencing, and that's it. But the difficulty is because it's I who would like to know so much, or I would like to understand, instead of understanding, just understanding that which appears, or just that which experiences that object. Yes. So actually the problem is clinging to I who would like to know, try to find it out, instead of just understanding at this moment.
And when there's doubt, one forgets that it's a reality that should be known precisely too, in order to have the understanding of no self at that very moment. There can be time when one is so much like to understand that very object, forgetting that useless, because other object appears, and you just want that one to be understood. Mm-hmm. Clinging is always there. It's like when in the beginning the I is so very, very strong that no matter there's the understanding of the idea of no self and visible object and things, but it cannot let go the accumulated wrong understanding which takes that everything is self. So it tries and tries in many different ways until Panya can see little by little, again and again, all are useless. And at that moment, reality can appear, see? But who can help not having such idea that I, at any moment, or intention to do, intention to know, see? Yes. Until Panya develops by more and more about that reality as it is, as not understanding. So at that moment, Panya learned to know that it's not by the self or the wish or the desire to know which can know that reality. It has to be developed by letting go. But it's so very difficult.
Difficult, yeah.
Because only Panya can let go, which means it's not better than other things. Everything is just conditioned, arising and passing away. That's why people or desire seek its way to go different from the right way. Without that desire, now can be a moment of developing understanding, because there are realities. Listen more, learning more, understanding more, then can be direct awareness, little by little. Kaya vinyati? And Kaya Vinyati, see, it's not difficult if we have the understanding. And Vaji Vinyati, it's there, but it's not the object of understanding, because sound is the object. See how fast it is. At the moment of thinking, it's out. Different sounds. No intention to make it this sound or that sound. So rapidly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before you understand the intention to speak, it's there. already.
Vati vinyati
is rupa.
I thought only at the moment of speaking like now, there is vati vinyati. But
rupa, which is not sound.
No.
Which conditions sound.
Sound, it conditions sound, mm-hmm. True. So it's there even before you speak.
They can be thinking without words or with words, depending on conditions. And otherwise, it might be very noisy.
And it's already vati vinyati?
No, not at all. But only when they sound.
When they sound, yes, yes.
That's why in that kalapa there must be vati vinyati and sound.
And sound, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Not separately.